Celebrating Palm Sunday this morning. We want to continue to worship the Lord. The message that God had placed into my spirit, for the title it says, "Let the Spirit of Christ Triumph." I don't know about you, but there's going to be doors that only God can open. There's going to be circumstances that only God can get us through. And there's a word in my spirit this morning that says triumph. See, triumph is not something that you just barely made it through with. But a triumphant victory is something that everybody knows. I'm talking about if it was in the sports world, you may not follow sports at all, but when there is a triumph victory, everybody finds out. It's in every newspaper. It's on all the news channels. When there's a triumph victory in the school, when there's a triumph victory in the White House, when there's a triumph victory in your family, people know it's something that you're going to tell. You're going to let people know this was not little. This was great. This was not small. This was big. Jesus had a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He did not sneak in the back way on this day. He did not try to hide who he was on the day that he entered into Jerusalem on this occasion. But he said, this is where we're going to break out all the stops. He gave his disciples permission and he said, I got a certain thing I want you to do. I want you to go, and there's going to be over here where I send you, there's going to be a mother donkey and there's going to be a baby colt. I want you to loose all both of them and bring them to me. We're going to use them for this triumphal entry. In the days of the Romans, the triumphal entry was paraded through the streets, just much like happened on this day, where when a battle and a war had been won, only marching through the city, the bands would go, the soldiers would go, the processions would go, the cheers would go, and they would let the time and the place around them know, we had a triumph victory. We are parading through the streets with a triumph victory. And Jesus was going to allow this himself to go into the streets of Jerusalem and have this one triumphal entry that he had never done before while he was in his earthly ministry. The crowd that day was saying things like, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna! Blessed be the Son of David! They were using Hosanna, saying in their language, it was being translated as save now. They were honoring Jesus in the moment of that multitude. Can I let you know that some of them that were in that multitude praising and giving Jesus honor and glory were some of the ones that seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They were in this group and they were using and celebrating and worshiping at Jesus as he was coming in. And this time, Jesus was sitting on a small colt donkey. And the Hosanna shouts were going forth. Well, to many it became a disappointment because he entered in to the city in triumph. But this city is where they crucified him. And they saw everything come to a close. And they were no longer shouting and celebrating with Hosanna shouts, but the multitude had changed. The multitude began to be filled with those in the crowd that would yell out, crucify. And Jesus went on a cross. But today begins a mark of our time where we go back in history and we call this week from this point until next Sunday, Holy Week. And we see the things that Jesus was doing from the triumphal entry to the Passover to becoming the Lamb that was slain and we know where we're going. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are born again and believe in the very Word of God, we can begin to celebrate even before Easter gets here that He is no longer on the cross, He is no longer in the grave, but He is alive forevermore. He is the risen King of Kings. He is still going to have another triumphal entry into this world, but it will not be a triumph for everybody. But Jesus is coming again, this time riding on a horse.
Yes,
hallelujah. Triumph is a word in my spirit this morning. Before I give you the text of the verse this morning, I want to share some places where you can find the word triumph. The message is going to be about let the Spirit of Christ triumph in you. Let the Spirit of Christ triumph in you. He had a triumphing spirit as he entered into Jerusalem. He had been in a relationship with God the Father. He was empowered of the Holy Spirit, and he was letting the world know, I am triumphing over this situation that is before me. Hallelujah. Exodus 15. You don't have to go there, but you can jot it down. Exodus chapter 15 is a place where Moses began to sing a song. And he began to sing a song about the Lord. And he said, you are the Lord who has triumphed gloriously over the horse and the rider. When they crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh was behind them with all his chariots and army, Moses sang a song and said, my God triumphed joyously and gloriously over the enemy. It's time for the church to remember that we got a triumph God. We got a triumphing Jesus. We got a triumphing Holy Spirit. Whatever the problem is this morning, whatever the situation is in your life this morning, there is one greater who triumphs over all things, who is to be worthy of all of our praise this morning. Hallelujah. Psalms 92 is actually another place of singing. Hallelujah. Psalms 92, but then down around verse 4, it says, through your work I will triumph. Through whose work? Through God's work I will triumph. And in the works of your hands we triumph. So the psalmist was reading and singing and writing and saying, listen, everybody needs to know how to have triumph in their spirit. It isn't when you and I do great works. It isn't when you and I do great projects and exploits, all things around the world. But when we recognize that it is the work of God's hand that triumphs in the church, when we realize that it's God's Holy Spirit doing the work, we're just a church opening doors. But whatever work is going to be done in the service today belongs to the hands of God, who knows how to triumph. He knows how to move on the heart. He knows how to move in the spirit. He knows how to move through His word. He knows how to help us. He knows how to exhort us. He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to forgive us. He knows how to help us in all things that we also might triumph. Psalms 92 says, you and I triumph when we recognize the working of God's hand is what puts us in a spirit of triumphing in Christ. Hallelujah. Then there's a prayer. Psalms 25 talks about triumph also. But in Psalms 25, it's a plea. It's a prayer. When you see the word plea in the Bible, it's a prayer. When you see these things, it's someone going before God saying, I need delivered and I need forgiveness. I need delivered and forgiveness. And in Psalms 25, the basic part of the prayer was, God, don't let my enemies triumph over me. Don't let the enemy spirit triumph over you this morning. Don't give him any place in this service today. Don't give him any room in your heart this morning. Don't allow him to go into your house, because we are celebrating this morning. We are in a place of excitement in the Spirit of God, knowing that we have a reason. When the world will not celebrate Palm Sunday, when the world will not talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus, it's not going to be on all the news stations today. It's not going to be carried on all the radio waves this morning. It's not going to be tweeted on phones and things like that. And it won't be a great topic on Facebook and all of these things. But now the church needs to be the church and recognize that God's Spirit is still triumphing today. And we're overcomers by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the text? It's a pretty good intro. Hallelujah. But let's look at the text this morning. Matthew chapter 21. Excuse me, that's not the text. I'm sorry. I'll talk to you about Matthew 21, but the text is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Please stand when you find this out of reverence for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to begin at verse number 12. I'm going to read down through verse 17. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we in Christ. Lord, I pray this morning. God, may this whole house, may every member, may every vessel be a savor of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere they go. Father, may your word be a savor, a sweet smelling aroma unto you this morning as we get into this, as we allow the ministry of your word to have first place in our lives and in our hearts. We honor the name of Jesus. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, I pray this morning that we would let you triumph in our spirits today. I pray that we would allow you to be first, and not just first in a small way, but in a great way, that you triumph over everything else in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul is not a stranger to knowing what it is to see the triumph of the Lord Jesus working in his life. Here in the book of 2 Corinthians, if you'll read through it, you'll understand that Paul is going through some troubling times. The church of Corinth is having some issues. There's some false apostles that got loose inside the church. They were tearing down things that Paul had begun to preach in the gospel of Christ. Notice as the opening parts of the verses of Scripture that where Paul was preaching at the time, that he was preaching Christ's gospel. He wasn't preaching his gospel. He wasn't preaching another gospel. He was preaching Christ's gospel. And when God's gospel, when His holy scriptures are being preached, it will bring a savor or a smell or an aroma in every single place that it goes. There's two groups of people in this passage of Corinthians. The Bible begins to explain that when the gospel of Christ is preached, there's some that when they hear it, it is like a savor of sweetness to them, and it's life and eternal life. But there's another side to the story that when the gospel is being carried, I like the little skit this morning where the little donkey said, if Jesus can use me to carry him, how about we get the message out in the world that we ought to all carry the message of Jesus, not any other gospel, but the message of Jesus. But there's another group. They don't like it when the gospel is presented to them, because the gospel to them is a death sentence, because they would rather enjoy the sins and pleasures of the world, because that smell to them is not the home cooking smell of grandma or mom, I'm cooking a great meal on a stove, but it smells burnt. It smells like fire. It smells like something that needs to be thrown away and discarded. And the Bible says that many will trodden down the blood of Jesus and discard the very gospel that Jesus stood for and is still today. Two groups. Not everybody on the triumphal entry of Matthew 21, where Jesus was going into the city of Jerusalem, not everybody on that day was going to join in the Hosanna singing. Some were receiving Jesus, but others were looking at that situation and trying to shut it down. The Bible would read, when you go in there and look in all four Gospels, the reason why there are four Gospels given to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because they all preached the same gospel that Paul preached. It was the gospel of Christ. And so they recorded the major things of the life and time with Jesus. But they saw some change. Not everybody's going to receive Jesus. It's a sad thing to think about, but not everybody's going to come to the house of God on Easter. Not everybody in every family is going to come and say, oh, but I need to be in the house of God to realize and remember the resurrection of my Lord and Savior. Not everybody hears that message. Today, the world is full of the same type of situation that was found in the Corinthian church. False apostles are going out discarding and belittling the name of Jesus and saying there's no reason to celebrate great things over this man. But he was more than a man. He was divine, yet he was human. He was holy, without sin. Nobody ever, anywhere, has ever been able to live a life like that. But not everybody receives the spirit of triumphing in Christ. Some would rather take their spirit of triumph and triumph in money. Some would rather triumph in pleasure. Some would rather triumph in rebellious and lawlessness and living of the world system. Some would rather triumph in all of the other resources that are available, but not Jesus. But for those of you that have tasted and seen and understand that the blood that was shed on Calvary is an awesome and a great and wonderful thing that's happened for us, that we can draw from the Emmanuel's veins the blood that was shed on Calvary, and we can now triumph in every single situation. Some of the personal attacks that were coming against Paul of this day. They accused him of walking in the flesh, teaching of his own intellect. They said that he was unjustly handling situations over the people. They said he was an intimidator in the church because he preached the red letter of Jesus and white right down the line. And sometimes when the boldness of the Word of God is preached, you got to remember that not everybody wants to hear about sin. Not everybody wants to hear about repentance. Not everybody wants to hear about lining up in the holy things of God. But Paul went down the line of the letter of Jesus Christ and began to preach it, and the false apostles got loose in the church and started attacking him. Much like they attacked Jesus. They said that Jesus was stirring up trouble. They accused him of all things. Let me tell you, Jesus has been accused. You're not the only one that's ever been accused of something wrongly. Jesus was accused. They brought all kinds of accusations about your Lord and Savior. They got into Paul. And they said, Paul is just out there preaching the gospel so that he can gain financially. Every lie that they could think of was being spread against Paul, so his spirit was troubled. But yet in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2, at verse 14, he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor and the sweet smelling aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. Paul had learned how to triumph in Christ. He had learned that whether he had enough or he had need, he was the one who let us know how to triumph and live for Jesus. Yeah. I don't know where we're at today. I don't know if we're claiming the loudness of our spirit as Paul would and say, Jesus is still the triumphing spirit in my life. You know, there might have been a day when you were loud in your witness. There might have been a day when you were bold in your testimony. There might have been a day when you wouldn't let somebody slip in your home without letting them know, hey, we pray over our food here. We believe in Jesus being the provider of our house. We give thanks unto God for the bread that's on the table today. We give thanks unto God for the drink that we have to sup with this morning. We're going to take communion this morning, but part of the bread of life and part of the blood of Jesus is to remind us to give thanks unto God for all things unto us this morning. Paul could have wrote something different and said, on occasion, the Spirit of Christ would triumph. But he made it clear as he's telling the Corinthian church and he's writing letters back. He says to you and I as the believers of the Lord, it's always, 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 always the Spirit of Christ that lets us triumph in every situation. Yeah. Oh, but God, you don't know. Yes, he does know. Yeah, he does. Oh, but you don't understand. He does understand this morning. Paul was there. I want to take you to the place of Acts chapter 16 this morning to talk about the Spirit of Christ triumphing in every situation. Know that Paul was troubled in his spirit. But in Acts chapter 16, it's known as the Macedonian call on Paul's life. He wasn't preparing to go to this place to minister at this particular time, but there was a vision that came to him in the night, and it was as though there was a man that stood before him and pleaded with him and begged him. The scripture actually says in Acts chapter 16 that in the vision, the man begged him to come to Macedonia and come and help us. So this morning, I want you to go in with me and understand that the Lord Jesus is going to help us triumph in every situation. And Paul from Acts chapter 16 went through many situations, but he heard from God and he said that we have to do this. God has called me to this place and I must submit and I must go. And Paul was in giving a message to the church. Your plans and your ways, remember the scripture, are not God's ways and God's plans, but we need to be submissive. We don't always know the exact path that God's going to take us down. But when he shows up in a vision, when he shows up in our hearts, when he wakes us up in the middle of the night, when he begins to share with us, then we have to obey. Acts chapter 16. Paul received a call from God, the open door. Are you going to receive your open door? People pray this. They say, God, open up a door for me. God, open up a door. Any door that God opens is for the purpose of the gospel to go through. People, we have to understand that when God opens doors, he wants his gospel preached. It's not an open door so we can take a vacation and be somewhere new. It's not an open door so that we can get friendly with some other people and get kind of a group that understands who we are and kind of get a following in our ministry. No, but if God opens the door, it's for his purpose of the gospel to be preached. And Paul said, I got to go over there and bring the message of Jesus Christ. And so he goes. One of the first places where the triumph spirit of the Lord triumphs in a situation, it's the Sabbath day. And there's some lessons that we can learn about the Sabbath day. Two things were going on in the Sabbath. They went and had a designated place of prayer. The Bible says that they went out of the city and they went and found a riverbed. And they were sitting by the river. Can I tell you that on God's day, we need to let the world go. We need to shut down from all of our jobs and the things and the cares of this life. On the Sabbath day, it belongs to God. It is to be a holy day and reserved for him. And we need to have our thoughts and our hearts in line. And what they did, they left the city and they went to a riverbed. Sometimes people are not getting close to God because they're staying out in the city instead of coming to the riverbed where the Holy Spirit flows and be among the place of customary worship and praise and prayer. This is the house of God where we belong on the Sabbath day to worship Him and praise Him and understand that He will cause a triumphing spirit in us if we will surrender, especially on the Sabbath day. It's to be holy and reserved for God. So they were down at the riverbed. And this is a place where some of the women were having business and they were doing things. And Paul and Silas were going down and they got to the river. And what they did when they got there was they began to speak to the women. But let me ask you a question. What exactly was it they spoke about? Did they talk about the fish in the river? They might have. Did they talk about the weather? They might have. But more importantly than that, they talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to bring triumph into everyone's life. And there was a group of women there. It doesn't list all of them. It doesn't say how many were there, but it mentions one woman. Lydia happened to be there on that day. And as they were speaking the gospel. They went there and they preached. How many know on the Sabbath day the Word of God needs to be preached? Hallelujah. How many know that on the Sabbath day the Word of God needs to be heard because it's going to triumph in your spirit for the next week and help you get through whatever you got to face? So they're sharing the gospel. God's Word triumphs, especially on the Sabbath day. Lydia, the Bible gives a little information about her. She is working with purple, a color of royalty, a color of richness. Must have had some kind of business where she was making things, linens and things, with purple. So she was rich. She had some wealth about her. But this is a place in Scripture when you need to underline and realize that God brings a message to the people that are rich. She also is somebody that the Bible says worship God, but she had not heard the message of Jesus yet. So God began to do a work. Remember that only God can triumph in the heart. And God began to open up her heart, the Bible says, and as they began to share Jesus, the Bible says her heart was opened. Remember that Paul had seen a vision. A man was standing before Paul, calling and begging and saying, come help us. Lydia was one that God had on his heart. Lydia was one that God wanted in his kingdom. Can I tell you that God will leave the 99 to find the one that's lost? You might have thought nobody even notices me. You might have thought you're just somebody sitting down by the riverbanks. You might have just thought that everybody has passed you by. But Jesus will get a hold of a man or a woman of God and call them to go find you and tell you about the triumphing message of Jesus Christ. And the church has got to believe in the triumph of Jesus or will never tell anybody about His goodness. But God just may have you on call this morning to tell you to go find the Lydias in your life, to tell you to go find somebody that's sitting by themselves somewhere and give them the gospel of Jesus. Notice that God can get a hold of a rich person and turn them into somebody that will serve God. He can do it. The Bible says that after Lydia received the message of Jesus, that she was baptized. And not only her, but her household. And then after they were baptized, Lydia began to beg Paul and Silas to come and stay, spend some time with them. What did she do? She was going to serve the man of God. She was going to honor God. And some of her richness and some of her wealth was going to serve for the kingdom work of God. But not every rich person. Remember, some groups that are rich will learn to hear the message of Jesus and they will give liberally and freely as God gives into their spirit to give. And they will begin to take on projects and missions and programs that churches around the world are doing. And if that's you this morning, God can use you that way. But not every rich person will heed the call. Remember back in Corinthians, the text of it says that some will receive the savor of Jesus Christ and they will receive it and it will be great in their life, and others will say this is death sentence. There's always two groups, two sides. But Lydia was touched of the gospel, and the gospel triumphed in her life. The kingdom of heaven was gaining families on this day. Then it drops down in chapter 16, and you can read all of this happens. There's a slave girl. Slaves are bound. How many remember in the book of Isaiah that Jesus says he came to set the captive free? He came to liberate those who are bound and oppressed, those who are tormented, those who are sick, those who are lame. This is the ministry. This is the gospel of Jesus. Remember that there was a Macedonian call on Paul, and he was beginning to hear from God. Come help us. Lydia needed the help of Jesus to know the message of Christ. It isn't good enough. There's many out there that are worshiping God. They're bowing down and trying to serve Him, but you can't live for God and know Him without Jesus Christ being the Savior. Jesus made it very clear that there is a broad and wide way that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow gate that you have to go through in order to get into the kingdom of God, and Jesus is the narrow gate. It doesn't matter if everybody out there says they believe in God. It doesn't matter if everybody says they're worshiping God. If they don't know Jesus Christ, if they have not received Him and heard the message that Paul brought to Lydia and the other group of women that day, there were others there, but only Lydia was the one mentioned in Scripture that heard it, received it, and triumph came to her life. Here's the slave girl, though, bound. The triumph message of Jesus to anybody bound is only whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Binding spirits are on a lot of people today. Binding spirits are on a lot of churches today. But in the gospel of Christ, that triumph message of Jesus that gets us in all situations to give Him glory, He triumphs even over a slave girl bound by a demon. She was foretelling. And there was another group of rich masters that were controlling her, and they were getting profit and wealthy off of this girl. Remember that not everybody that's rich is going to hear the message of Jesus and serve God. Lydia was rich. She heard the message and she began to serve God. But this group of masters got upset at Paul because this little girl that was possessed and tormented of a demon and a devil that was being controlled by the masters that was in her, over her. They were using her for gain and for profits, and they were making a lot of money off of her, and she was following Paul and Silas around, and she had a mocking spirit of the enemy on the inside of her. She was saying the right things. These are the sons of God that are coming to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were saying the right thing through a demon spirit, but it was a mocking spirit of the enemy. How many know that a mocking spirit was on Jesus on the day that He was on the cross? They mocked Him. They're mocking Him today. They are saying that He's not coming. They're making fun of everybody that even tries to show forth, and some men are being wrong in what they're doing, trying to give a date and a time, and it's not so, because the Bible says you don't know the day or the hour, but you can look at the seasons of the times and know that it is about to come. And when He comes, we're going to receive Him if you're saved. And when He comes, if you are not saved, then you won't receive anything from the kingdom of God. Something happened. Paul and them put up with it for a few days. Have you ever put up with the devil for a little while? I mean, he's annoying you. I have. I've thought, you know, I don't want to deal with this right now. But then all of a sudden, the boldness, I don't believe it was Paul at all. I know it wasn't, because when the Holy Spirit gets bold on somebody, they're no longer like their own character. I know I preach kind of bold sometimes, but if you talk to me outside of church, I don't often raise my voice. But something about the boldness of Jesus is burning on the inside of me. Paul finally turned around and cast that demon out of that girl. Church, sometimes the triumphing spirit of the Lord has got to get bold inside of you, and you just got to put your foot down and say, get out of my house. Get out of my church. Get out of my family. He didn't have to talk to the girl first. He didn't stop and put her through therapy and find out what's going on. God revealed to him, there's a demon spirit there. Turn and cast that thing out. Something happened though. The girl was free. Remember the call that was on Paul's heart? Woke him up in the middle of the night. Maybe he was already awake. It just says a vision. I don't know, but it says in the nighttime. There's people that need the gospel of Jesus to bring triumph. This girl was bound. She had no triumph in her life. She was bound. She was being abused by masters. She was being told what to do. She was a slave. But God said, I've got a triumphing spirit of my gospel. And in the man that Paul was, being a man of God, and Silas being a servant of the Lord, they turned and got rid of that evil spirit. But here's something that happened. The rich masters, they got mad because their God was the wealth that was coming to them. See, they didn't care that the girl got free. They didn't care that maybe for the first day in this girl's life, she was able to think on her own. She was able to rest and enjoy her life. There is no good in a demon. There's nothing but torment in a demon. You can't have a demon and be happy. You can't have an evil spirit in your home and be satisfied. There is nothing good that's going to come from an evil spirit. Don't entertain them. Somebody has got to get bold in the Spirit of God and say, get out! And he cast the demon out. They got mad, so mad that they grabbed Paul and Silas and took them to the magistrate. You can say the word, I can't. Thank you. You're preaching for me today. You're preaching for the Lord. Hallelujah. What did they do? You got to remember the words of Paul, though, back in 2 Corinthians. Thank God that through Christ Jesus, always triumph in every situation, every cause. He answered the call of the Lord, and he meets a woman by the name of Lydia, and she receives the gospel. Praise God, we're having a great time. They get followed around by a mocking demon spirit used of the vessel of a slave girl, and it's annoying. It is something that makes them uncomfortable and uneasy. They left the place where they were ministering because of the vision, but their heart was still troubled because of the mess in the church, and they didn't yet have fellowship with Titus. The word had not come back, so Paul is a wreck. He's got trouble on the outside. He's got trouble on the inside. There's fights back at home at Corinth. There's fears on the inside of his heart. There's a call that God says to do. His body is in unrest. But God gave a call and he answered the call and he went to Macedonia and he was doing what God said to do. He meets Lydia. I'll spit it out in a minute. Delivers the gospel. She receives it. She's now a servant for the kingdom work of God. She's a blessing to the house of the Lord. The slave girl's annoying, not her, but the devil, and the spirit that's in her is annoying to the ministry. How many know that the devil follows around the ministry work of God and plugs in places to be just annoying? But by the power of God's word, we can be triumphing in him and kick the enemy out this morning. He had to deal with these rich masters. Now they're upset and they take him. They get him before the religious leaders. Accuse them again. Paul was accused by his church. Now he's accused by the world. Now he's on his way to prison. Before he goes to prison, their clothes are torn off of them and they're beat with rods on their back, busted wide open. Oh, doesn't that sound like you want to pray for God to open up a door? Remember, it was God who opened up this door. What is going on? Suffering is part of the gospel message of Jesus. It isn't pleasant. It isn't fun. But this gospel is going to split the times. It divides everything. Remember, there's A, B, C, and A, D. There's all the things. Only Jesus can split time in half. Only the Word of God can split people apart. Only the gospel being preached can set people free. All they were doing was sharing the gospel. Sometimes you share the gospel and you give the word. And you sit down by a riverbank on a Sabbath day and you preach. Sometimes you have to be used of God and cast out demons and you're still preaching the word. The word is triumph in Christ Jesus. Then when you begin to do that and you mess with the devils and you mess with the secular world and they get all upset and mad, they take you into courts and prisons. But Paul had it in his spirit that I am going to triumph in Christ in all things. And so you know what happens next. The Philippian jailer had been given stern instructions. These criminals, these inmates, you better lock them up and get them tightened up, because if anything happens to them where they get loose, your head's on the line. And so they put them in the inner chambers of the prison and they put stocks on their feet. Remember that they just set loose a demon-possessed woman and now they got physical stocks on their legs. But their heart is free because God's going to triumph in every situation. The Bible says it got to be midnight. Backs are bleeding. Accusations against them. Problems have piled up now. But at midnight they were found doing two things. Praying and praising. Praying and praising. Praying and praising. Midnight is the darkest time of your life. I don't believe that Paul was having a great, wonderful time in the natural, but in the spirit realm, he was drawing from the river of life on the inside that said, in my God, I will triumph in all things, and I'm going to sing when they tell me I can't sing. I'm going to pray when they tell me I shouldn't pray. I'm going to go to the house of God when all of the things of the world are on my back. When I get bad news, I'm coming to God's house. When I get told my job is gone, I'm coming to God's house. When my kids are rebelling again, against the things of God and the house of God and the parents, I'm coming to God's house. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise. When they're saying all kinds of evil against me, and they will bring you accusations. If you've not had somebody say a bad word against you, then you might not be serving the same God I serve, because even in this week, there's been some accusations against your pastor in some very negative ways. But I say I'm going to triumph in the Christ that I serve and in the Lord. And there's some things that might have been said against you that you don't know about. But praise God, you're going to triumph through all these things. In the midnight hour, they said, we'll triumph because we're going to pray and we're going to praise. What happens when you pray and praise? The foundation. I'm so glad the word foundation was in there. The foundations of that jail. You know what that means? That was a direct implication to the enemy. I will, in the power of God, shake your foundation. You build a jail for the children of God, and I'm going to shake down the foundations. You try to back us up into a corner and build a box for God to live in, and he says, I'm going to shake the foundations. Let them come and try to attack the place of Israel. Let them come and defy the things of God. But God is saying, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just begin to step on this earth and shake the foundations of everything around and know that there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody ought to begin to say, Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is a good sermon. There's still 3 minutes on the clock. I'm not used to that. I'm used to looking over there and 20 minutes pass and going, got to get the people home. Praise God, no clocks in heaven. Praise God, no clocks in heaven. You want to throw your alarm clocks away someday? Hallelujah. Wave at me if you're retired and you don't got to have an alarm clock. Oh, the Bible says don't be jealous and envious, but boy, that's a tough one. 4:45 comes very early in the morning. Oh, praise God. See, I done used up a minute. Now I got to get back to preaching. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that the triumphal entry of Jesus that you can read about in Matthew 21? And I'm closing, so if you want to put some music on, this would be a good time. I want you to understand this. It was not an ordinary parade of the same type of triumph that came into the streets of Jerusalem on that day. See, the city was used to having these parades from time to time. But they weren't ready for this one. Not everybody. Because the Bible says, how many of you know that we have parades that come to our towns? Labor Day parade, sometimes a Christmas parade. Different parades come to town. You know what it was like the first time the parade came to town? Probably most everybody in the city wanted to go see it. But now we've had parades, we're used to them. You don't get up and go outside to these parades. The Christmas parades are usually cold outside. You kind of balance it and say, nah, I'll just stay in where it's warm. So what's happening that's different about this, and you can read it in your Bible, Matthew 21. Jesus comes riding in. Nothing held back. He's not going to let people say that he's not the Son of God anymore. He rides in on this small donkey. It's the triumphal entry. But what's different about this parade is it caused commotion in the whole city. So those that were used to the parades, this one was different. The word commotion, or the trouble that caused in that city that day, is the same type of thing that is known in scriptures as earthquake. The Lord Jesus' triumphal entry literally shook the foundations of that city, just like the prison that was shaken. And by the way, the testimony of their prayers and praising God in the midnight hour when that foundation was shook, the Bible says that the doors were open and every prisoner was loosened. That's how powerful the triumphing message of Jesus is. It's not just something that can be told one time. Sister Nancy, I'll tell you about Jesus. He loves you. While I'm telling it to her, he's bouncing his same message all through this auditorium. And we can all receive it. Everyone that heard the message of Jesus through Paul and Silas, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they all got loose. What I'm telling you is this triumphal entry about your Savior into Jerusalem. Though the group of people there that day missed it, they were saying Hosanna, which means save now. They wanted him to rise up and be king right then. He already was king. They didn't know it. But what it is to you and I is to let us know that he was the triumphal entry point going into Jerusalem. And then we get to see the climax of what he did on the cross and when he came up out of the tomb. How many know that he triumphed over every situation? Death lost its power. But see, the triumphal entry was the picture God gave to us that says, you have to see me this way. Don't focus on the nails. Don't focus on the blood that was being poured. Yes, we need the blood. But don't look at the gruesomeness of what Jesus went through. See him first. What did he show us first? Triumph. So the message of Jesus today is, remember, in the last days, when all of hell is breaking loose, our triumph picture is still Jesus going into Jerusalem. He was not afraid to face the cross. He knew ahead of time what was coming before him. Church, you just need to know this. There's some tough times coming for the church. There's some tough, difficult decisions coming in your life. The economy and the frailty of this world is unraveling fast. And if we're not careful, we'll think that there's no more triumph in Jesus. Many churches are closing. Many people are closing the Bible and saying it used to work, but doesn't do so anymore. Yes, it does. I want you to stand this morning. I want you to just bow your heads where you are. You could be like Lydia this morning and say, I'm a believer of God, but you need the salvation of Jesus. You could be like the slave girl this morning that's bound, and demonic pressure, influence is all around you. Seems like you're bound in everything. Psalms 25 is your prayer this morning. God, deliver me from my enemies. Don't let them triumph over me. You might be like Paul or Silas, finding yourself up against accusations, accusings, torment and torture. But if that's you, then get back to praying and praising, because the foundation's about to shake. But the whole thing's about the gospel message of Jesus. He is the triumphing message of our hearts. I can't wave my hand and take all the bad away from you. I can't pull all of the evil and say, never again will you be touched by this sinful world. Because Jesus never said that would happen either. But I can tell you, hold on to the triumphal entry of Jesus going into Jerusalem. I want you to pray with me this morning. Remember, triumph is not a word that says I have a little victory. Triumph is a word that I have a great victory in Jesus. Triumph is not a little God, but triumph is a great God. Triumph is not a little prayer, but triumph is a great prayer. Let's be a triumphant church for Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, what a day to celebrate the triumph. As this group leaves to go home, I want them to come and take communion before they leave. The Bible says that we're to do this in remembrance. As often as we do it in remembrance of you. Lord, I want to remember you as a triumph leader who went into Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the very city that's being fought over spiritually. Much war is over Jerusalem, and spiritually, that is the church. There's much war over the spiritual matters of every believer of God. There's a great war going on. The enemy wants to control, manipulate, and steal God's children. But God sends us the call on our spirit that says, I'm calling you to go help them that are lost to hear the gospel message of Jesus. Church, I want you to start coming. I'm going to take the lids off of the communion, and I just want you to kind of do it in a line. Just come through. If you need to take it back for somebody else, just grab it. We'll take another few minutes. Come quickly, though, so we can close. Get the elements in your hands, and then we will break the bread and we will drink the cup together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. While you're getting your communion in your hands, I'll give you a testimony. We had a pastor's conference here at our church. This church hosted this. It's the second year now. And it's a model church conference, and we were really getting into the Word. And before the conference was over, the church was blessed with a gift offering, and we received $150 for hosting the service yesterday. And I just want to thank God that He's continuing to bring finances into our church, and He's helping us. And I thank you for being a giver. I thank you for praying over the church. God knows our future. He's going to help us get there. Also want to give you a prayer request from my family. My wife and I, after the service this morning, we're going to have to leave and go over to the town of Leroy. There's a matter that involves our son Justin, and we need to see God's hand do a miracle for him. And he needs a place to live. And we're praying for him and his girlfriend that he has, that God will touch their hearts. I'm believing they'll be here for Easter. But we have some business that we have to do this afternoon. And what I want you to pray, would you ask God to put favor over my family? Give me wisdom on what I need to talk about and how to deal with somebody. I would appreciate your prayers this morning for that. Both of our sons have praise reports in the bulletin this week. Justin is working full-time in Leroy, and many of you know that we've been praying a long time for a job. He's working 40 hours a week, Monday through Friday. He has weekends off. He likes his job, and he's doing a good job on it, and God opened that door. But there's other things that need to be taken care of. And Caleb had a car problem, and he works for Pizza Hut, and he delivers pizzas, and you need a car. Annette was praying Wednesday night, and Caleb didn't know what her prayer was, but she prayed that God would send somebody. I'm not mechanical. Caleb's not mechanical. It's not in us. He didn't know what the problem was, but it was really messing his car up bad. Annette was praying, and she said, God, send somebody by that can look at that and let it be something simple, God. It turned out to be a spark plug. And on the same night that the prayer was being prayed, after service, we found out that there was a gentleman that came to Pizza Hut that Caleb was talking to, and he went out and looked at the car, and it was fixed in just a few minutes. He thought he was going to have a big mechanics bill, and God did the work. I said, Caleb, I'm putting that in the praise report. I don't know if he's even here today. I don't know if he made it in. But I'm asking for special prayer over my family. We need God's hand in our family. And I'll pray for your family. I am praying. But let's take this morning. The Bible says that he took the bread and he gave it and he broke it. And we want to break it this morning and let's eat together. And then he took the cup and he said, drink ye all of it. Let's drink in the name of Jesus. Father, as we dismiss this morning, we thank you that we've done this in remembrance of you. You are the triumphing God. You are the triumphing Lord and Savior. And in our hearts this morning, you triumph. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed this morning. Service tonight at 6 o'clock. Thank you, Brother Ron. He's got his little beach hat on this morning. Head out to the beach.